This is Katie Harth with Mission Network News, and today I've got Todd Nettleton on the line. He's the spokesman for Voice of the Martyrs USA, and we're going to do a whirlwind here. We're going to try to cover three topics in the next 15 minutes or so. We've got ISIS, Egypt, and the ISIS expansion into the Caucasus on the lineup today. And first of all, we're going to start with an article from Al Monitor, which is a Middle East news source. And this headline is kind of alarming to me. It says how the Islamic State has helped the Middle East. And there's a bunch of reasons the author gives for why. But Todd, what were your thoughts on that article?
I think the author makes some very interesting points, and I think the most significant one is how different nations who maybe 5 years ago we would have said are competing to be the dominant force in the Middle East, they don't like each other or they refuse to work with each other. Because of the growth of the Islamic State, they have kind of seen that, wait a minute, maybe we should work with those guys because the Islamic State is a bigger threat than they are. I think of the old saying that the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and that's kind of what has come together when you think about Turkey and Iran and Saudi Arabia. All of those groups want to see the Islamic State defeated, and so they are willing to talk to each other and to cooperate more than they were before the Islamic State advanced to the point where it is today.
There were some concerning things, at least to me, in that article, however. The phrase enhancing or strengthening state institutions caught my attention because it was repeated a few different times. And I'm just wondering what the ramifications would be for Christians, because a lot of these state institutions are anti-Christian.
Well, that's true. You know, as you strengthen the military, as you strengthen the police force, as you strengthen so-called anti-terror efforts, in these nations where there is not strong protection for human rights, strong protection for the accused, sometimes Christians are caught up sort of in the crossfire of that because the same laws that can be used to arrest radical Muslims who are, you know, meeting together and plotting a terrorist attack can be used to arrest Christians who are meeting together to study the Bible and worship the Lord. So certainly as we look at these countries and as we see the strengthening of laws against so-called terrorism that are designed to counteract the Islamic State, we have to be aware that our Christian brothers and sisters could be affected by those laws as well.
And all speculation aside for a moment, Christians in the Middle East, they need things now. What needs do they have, and how is Voice of the Martyrs helping them?
Well, it's interesting. I just, within the last couple of weeks, had the chance to interview a pastor from Iraq, and he was a pastor that I had met with when I was there about a year ago, and at that time, you know, I asked him that question, okay, Pastor, how can we pray for you? How can we pray for the church in Iraq? And his first request, and I think I'll always remember this, his first request was, pray that God will call Christians to stay here and continue to serve the Lord inside Iraq. And so he was here just a couple of weeks ago, and I asked him, you know, the same question, and he said it's the same answer as it was a year ago. Pray that God will call Christians to stay, because so many Christians are leaving the region. There's not a place of safety for them there. There is not a lot of future for them there, and so they're choosing to leave. And his request is pray that God will call people to stay, because there is great work to be done. There is an openness to the gospel among people being displaced by the Islamic State that there wasn't 2 years ago or 5 years ago. And so there is great gospel work to be done, and I think the biggest need is workers. And, you know, the Bible tells us, pray that the Lord will send workers into the harvest field.
Anything else before we move on to Egypt?
Nope, I don't think so.
All right. We've got another report from Egypt, and it's talking about a new counterterrorism law. And you know, it doesn't just stop there. It also mentions how nearly 200 laws have been passed by the new leader, El-Sisi, since last summer. And it seems to me like Egypt's kind of going back under military rule because Sisi has a long history in the military. Is that accurate?
I think there's certainly a concern of that, the fact that there is not a sitting parliament, and so these laws are being put in place by the presidential administration there without really a lot of checks and balances, a lot of review of, okay, you know, what's the downside of this? And much is being done in the name of combating terrorism. And so, you know, even those who would speak out against these laws, there's a challenge, you know, when a law is presented as, hey, we need this law in order to fight terrorism, and you say, wait a minute, maybe we don't need this law, the natural response is, are you for terrorism? You know, how can you say that? So there is some real challenges going on in Egypt. These laws are already being used to sort of put the lid on freedom of speech and freedom of assembly and some of the things that here in the United States we really cherish as foundational freedoms. There are 21 people in prison in Egypt right now for Facebook activity, for things they've posted on Facebook. And so it does seem like, at least from a human rights perspective and from a freedom perspective, things are going in a very concerning direction.
And following up on that, freedom of speech and assembly are kind of in the same group as freedom of religion. So is that on the line, too? I mean, what's that going to mean for Christians?
I think that the first target of these and the biggest concern to President Sisi is the growth of radical Islam, the Muslim Brotherhood that was a part of Mohamed Morsi's background, the previous president there. They're kind of swinging away from the Muslim Brotherhood, and these laws are being put in place to fight Islamic terrorism. But as is true in other nations as well, when you start talking about a law against people gathering together in a private home, well, is that going to affect house churches? Obviously, it could. Obviously, the police could come into that meeting as well. And so certainly as we see these laws passed, we want to be aware of the fact that they do affect Christians there as well.
And what, I mean, Voice of the Martyrs is in touch with persecuted Christians all around the world. Do you know how they're faring presently under Sisi's rule and maybe how we can pray for them?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when Sisi came to power, predominantly the word we heard from Christians in Egypt was, this is a good thing. You know, coming out of Mohamed Morsi, coming out of the Muslim Brotherhood being in control, this looked like, hey, this is a step in the right direction. This is great. We're going to have more freedom. I think as we see him sort of tighten the levers of control, I think Christians are starting to say, wait a minute, we need to watch this closely. So it certainly is an item that we should put on our prayer list because the church there is looking at this. Okay, how does this affect us? How does it affect evangelism? How does it affect our ability to meet together, to worship together? And there are some notes of concern that are starting to be sounded.
Is there anything I missed or anything else you wanted to add?
No, I think we covered it all.
Okay. Okay, final topic, and thank you for going through this with me. There's another update that says, you know, it came out this summer, actually, that Chechen fighters are pledging allegiance to the Islamic State, and Russia is now like the 17th country with ISIS or some of its affiliates there. Is this setting the stage, looking at the global picture of the spread of ISIS, is this setting the stage for even more persecution? I mean, 2014 was the most persecution in modern history.
I think what we're seeing is a group that is solidifying its control on its home territory, and it's now recruiting. And I think one of the things that it's important to understand is the idea of the caliphate and what that means in Islam and how there is a strand of Islam that says if there is a caliphate, which there are certain qualifications, they have to control actual physical territory, they have to be led by a descendant of the Prophet Muhammad, but there is a strain of Islam that says if there is a caliphate that meets all those requirements, if you are a Muslim, you are obligated to support that caliphate, and in many cases, you are obligated to come and join us. And so that message is being preached in mosques in Indonesia and Malaysia and Chechnya, and there are Muslims who are hearing that message. It's resonating with them, and they're going. They're answering that call to come and fight alongside the warriors of the caliphate, wherever that is.
And there, I've seen some reports that say that Muslims will outnumber Christians around the world by 2025. From a global perspective, what does this mean for Christians? As I mean, obviously, not all Muslims are terrorists, but those who are answering the call, is the threat going to grow?
I think the first thing it means is that we've got a lot of work to do. To share the gospel, to send Bibles, to do gospel TV and radio broadcasts, to send mission workers. That's the first thing that comes to my mind is, hey, that we got to get to work. But obviously the danger to Christians in areas where there is a growing radical Islamic presence is growing. We see that in Afghanistan. We see it in Iraq and Syria. We see it all over the world. The more people who have pledged allegiance to the Islamic State, then the more people who are violently opposed to the gospel, they're violently opposed to the church, and they do present a danger to Christians.
Why should any of our listeners care about the spread of ISIS and the, I mean, it just all seems like bad news. I mean, why should they pay attention? Why should they tune in?
Hopefully they tune in because we've heard the gospel call to preach the message to every tribe and tongue and nation. And that includes people from Chechnya. That includes people from Indonesia. That includes Islamic State fighters. But the other thing, and it does often as we turn on the television, it does look like a sea of bad news. But there is good news, too, and we have heard even stories of ISIS fighters coming to a personal faith in Jesus Christ. And so that's a part of the reason people should tune in. The other thing that is happening across the Middle East, and we hear this again, it's a consistent theme, is the Islamic State is turning Muslims toward something else. When a Muslim who is not radical but sees the Islamic State, they know enough of the Quran to know the Islamic State is following it. They know those verses are in there, and they say, "Wait a minute, that's not me. I don't want to be a part of that. I'm not violent like that. I don't think we have to kill everyone who doesn't agree with us." They're looking for other options, and into that is coming the gospel message. And we see Muslims really hungry for Jesus. And so that's another piece of good news behind all the bad news of the Islamic State.
And for our listeners, as they hear reports like this and God moves in their spirit and they're like, yeah, you're right, I got to do something, but I've got a family. I can't uproot them and go to the Middle East or be a missionary. What can they do?
The first thing that all of us can do is pray. And again, I go back to that conversation with the Iraqi pastor. Pray that God will send workers into the harvest. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's someone else that he's sending. But as we pray, I think we have to be open to the possibility. Maybe it is me. Maybe God's going to call me. Maybe he's going to call my children or my grandchildren to go and do this work. So we need to pray for the Christians who are in that part of the world. We need to pray for the Muslims. As we think about a guy named Saul on his way to Damascus, which is the capital city of Syria, and he ran into Jesus Christ and became Paul the Apostle, we pray and ask God for many more Sauls, Saul's in the Islamic State, Saul's in Al-Qaeda, Saul's in other radical groups to come to know Jesus Christ personally and become missionary apostles that will take that message all over the world. We can also help. There are some practical ways to help. Voice of the Martyrs is delivering aid to displaced Christians who have been kicked out of their homes by the Islamic State. We're providing humanitarian aid. We're providing Bibles and Christian encouragement to them. So there are very practical things that we can do as well.
I've been speaking with Todd Nettleton of Voice of the Martyrs USA about a range of topics and, most importantly, what you can do to help. Todd, thanks so much for being with us today on Mission Network News.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.